Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the show out on the road. It was fun at CVP this past week. I do know that we got Pizza John's coming up on Friday. It is our big baseball preview. There are all sorts of rumors. Dave Shinen's going to be joining us this week. I've also got some confirmations from Jamie Costello and Mark Viviano. They're going to be doing some other Maryland Crab Cake tours later on because we're going to be at Fadley's on April 2nd, which sounded like a long time ago until it's 2 weeks from now and opening day's next week. Luke and I will be in Toronto next week, and when we convene on Friday together at Pizza John's in Essex, we will have the magic eight balls to give away. I'm also going to give away some slices of pizza and have some fun on Friday. I'm excited about being back down in Essex. My wife picked up a pizza on Sunday from Pizza John's. My favorite, the Hawaiian with pepperoni. Don't do it any other way. You'll thank me later. Luke Jones is here. We were going to talk some baseball, which we will do. Zach Eflin starting on opening day in Toronto next week. I've got my passport out. You have your passport out. I have some Canada stuff I can lend you, little things you could stick on your backpack so you look like you belong. You look Canadian. I mean, you wear a red hat. You could be Canadian, right?
Okay, I didn't know I had a look of being Canadian. I don't really know what that is, but
You
yeah,
could be a
but
hockey player. Yeah, I'm looking at you know?
I don't think so.
The Orioles have a Canadian outfielder now, and nobody even realizes that that
Tyler
O'Neill.
O'Neill.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's
We're gonna
right.
do football here because baseball is so next week, and we got to worry about Gunner and Grayson and Kittredge, and you want Mr. Rubenstein to spend even more money. He spent $2 billion last year. That's not enough for you to buy the team. So we'll improve the baseball team, but on the football side, I don't want to say I'm scratching my head a little bit because, like, when I left you middle of last week, DeAndre Hopkins made sense. You attended the press conference. But since then, the Cooper Rush thing, a little bit of a head scratcher with money. And then on top of that, the Ben Cleveland thing over the weekend. So there has been some Ravens news, maybe a little bit more than there's been Orioles news.
There has been. I mean, it's the first week of free agency, and you get to the second week of March. Even the biggest seam heads, even the most diehard baseball fans are ready for the season to start. So you kind of have that going on. But a lot's happened since you and I last convened. I mean, Michael Pierce announced his retirement, which was something that I think was always a possibility. It's something that I mentioned at least in passing and trying to shape up the off season. As you mentioned, the DeAndre Hopkins press conference was Friday. That was about what I expected it to be. Lots of mentions of Lamar Jackson and rejoining Derrick Henry as the two played for a year in Tennessee. But over the weekend, you mentioned it. I mean, a couple signings that, for me, I don't think Cooper Rush raised eyebrows when you actually saw what the deal was actually worth. I mean, you see Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter say 2 years max value of $12.2 million. Well, yeah, that's the worst case scenario if Lamar Jackson's missing a bunch of games and Cooper Rush is playing as he had to play in Dallas with Dak Prescott hurt. But the
And at
actual
that point, you would see the difference between a $4 million and a $50 million quarterback.
sure, no question about it. No question about it. But the real value of the deal, 2 years, $6.2 million, right? I mean, $3 million for a backup quarterback is still on the cheaper side. I like it because, as you know me, Nestor, I'm not someone who subscribes to the idea of spending a bunch of money on your backup quarterback. I mean, it feels like paying for the extended warranty on a product that it doesn't warrant it because if Lamar Jackson misses more than a couple games,
I
you're
love
in
that,
deep
dude. You go to
trouble.
Best Buy and you buy a laptop for $499, and then they want to sell you the $300 a year
Yeah,
package.
exactly. You just look at this, you're like, is this really, what am I paying for here? I'm paying to for the event of a headache, right? I mean, and I don't know if it's really going to make things better for me. So, Cooper Rush has played quite a bit the last couple, the last 3 years. You look at the number of starts he's made. He's a solid backup quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say that he stinks or anything like that. At the same time, if Lamar Jackson has to miss half the season, they're in trouble, right? As you would
If
expect. So,
Cooper Rush starts more than two games this year, the Ravens are in peril to some degree,
I
you
mean,
know?
I suppose it would depend on when it happens,
Oh, well,
right?
if they sit
Yeah.
him and it's weekend, I'm talking about like if
Oh.
it's October and they have two games and he has to play, unless their defense is better than I think it is or the running game probably is pretty good, but like on. I'm with you. They're not winning games in January with Cooper Rush or
I mean, what team is with their backup core? I mean, how many teams can't win games in January with their starters? So I'm not surprised by that, but
we go back
it's
to Matt Schaub, right? I mean, like the Ravens signed some guys we never heard of because they never walked on the field. You hope he's that guy, but if he's not, then they're not going to win. I mean, and how much money you spend on your backup quarterback, where are you on that? Would you have preferred them taking a 6-round draft pick on a quarterback and playing that game and saving money? I mean,
I mean,
maybe.
I think you have to aim higher than that. But for me, 3.1 million a year as far as the average annual value, that's okay. That's not insane. Remember, the cap has continued to go up. I mean, this isn't what when the Ravens signed Matt Schaub, I think they gave him 4 million a
Well,
year at
dude, I'm
that
not good
point
at
in
math,
time.
but if the cap's 300 million and they gave him 3 million, he's about 1% of the cap,
Right.
period.
I mean, you're
That's
not
it.
talking about a major investment here. I mean, I'm certainly not hot and bothered when teams go out and give their backup 8 million a year or something like that. I mean, to me, that seems like money you could spend on a player that's actually going to play for you.
Well, unless you have Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
well, right, and then you kind of say, well, what are you really doing as a franchise, right? I mean, that for me, I think I made this comment to you last week, but when you see the number of signings over the course of the first couple days of free agency, and you see some of these teams who have cap space to spend. They have to spend it, right? I mean, you have a salary floor. You have to spend a certain percentage of the cap. But I look at it and I say, okay, that's a decent signing. Okay, that might be okay. These other six signings you made, like, what are you doing here? You don't have a quarterback, so none of this matters, right? You get to the point where you just feel very flippant about it.
Well, you could be waiting on Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking if you're waiting on Aaron Rodgers, your season's over and it's March. I mean, the Vikings are waiting on Aaron Rodgers to what? To what? To show up and
I
get
mean,
him to
are they
nine
though?
wins? I mean,
I mean,
what?
do we know that though? The way it sounds to me, it sounds like Aaron Rodgers might be waiting on them more so. I think the Vikings are much more in a position of they've augmented their roster. They decided to walk away from Sam Darnold at that price point, and they drafted a quarterback very early last year. I mean, JJ McCarthy wasn't a second round pick, so I think they're certainly. I think they're pondering Aaron Rodgers, and maybe they will sign him, but I don't think they're in a position where they're depending on Aaron Rodgers. I think it's more they're trying to weigh where they are as a team, where they are as a roster, and try to figure out where JJ McCarthy is after missing his whole rookie year. But they loved him a year ago at this
I
time.
think the coach might be a genius, by the way. I spent time with that
I
guy.
you
I like him, and he knows quarterback. He was a
Look what he
quarterback.
did with
So,
Sam Darnold. I'm
right.
sorry,
So,
Sam
like,
Darnold
I
was the
think the coach
bust.
is a genius there. So that's something that to watch out for. I spent an hour with that guy, and I really liked him. I liked him more than I've liked most people, most football coaches. Just I sat and had a meal with him, and I'm like, I'd hire you, dude. You know what I mean? And I've met them all, so I like him. But I don't know what they're doing with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like, and
Oh,
again, the Steelers, these teams that, unless they're going to create some miracle on draft day and draft a quarterback, that's the miracle, and Shedeur Sanders or whatever it's going to be. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. When you don't have a quarterback, this is a real tough 8 months.
yeah. Well, and that I think that again, I don't think the Vikings are waiting on Aaron Rodgers. I think there's some entertaining of the possibility, and I think Aaron Rodgers is waiting that situation out because he sees what kind of roster they have. So, but yeah, to get back to the broader point, these teams that don't have quarterbacks, you mentioned Rodgers. For me, the most hilarious one is what's going on in Indianapolis right now. I mean, there's lots of talk about Ballard being gone after last year, and some of the miscues they've made from a roster building standpoint. When he 3, 4, 5 years ago, he was regarded as an Eric DaCosta. He was kind of lauded to be in that tier. And they've been nothing but disappointing since then. So Ursay basically said, hey, this year, like we're running it back, but head coach, GM, scouts, assistant coaches, all of this, you're all on notice. And yet everyone's future is going to depend on a quarterback competition between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. I mean, that's the epitome of dead on arrival from a quarterback situation. So I don't know. I mean, you just look at all these teams, and that's where. You look at the Ravens, and how about the Ravens just compared to the rest of the division, which we'll get to the Bengals in just a moment, but Steelers trying to figure out their quarterback situation. I mean, looks like they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. If it's not Aaron Rodgers, I guess it's Russell Wilson. They got DK Metcalf. I mean, great, but who's going to throw him the football, right? Who's going to keep him and George Pickens happy? I mean, that's a really big question there when you're talking about two, albeit talented, but mercurial wide receivers who are going to want the ball and want the ball thrown to them in a competent way. So you have that. The Browns are the Browns, right? I mean, there's not much else needs to be said about them at this point in time.
Joe Flacco's still unemployed.
He is. But then you go to Cincinnati, which, this is the point I was making late last week, how up until late Sunday night, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins still weren't signed. Now they are, for a lot of money, a lot of un-Bengals-like money. It almost makes you wonder if something's happening there in terms of some kind of private equity getting involved or something like that. Because Mike Brown's never spent money like that. And now he's spending that kind of money on a quarterback and not one wide receiver, but two wide receivers. We'll see what it means for Trey Hendrickson,
They are
but
selling a lot of white Zubaz in Cincinnati, I'm telling you. You know,
they are.
they're making more money than they used to make. That all being said, the league prints money for them. So the fact that Mike Brown was pocketing hundreds of
Oh,
millions of
sure.
dollars over time is, you know, it's his own thing, you know.
No question, no question, but still so out of character that you do wonder if, okay, is there another shoe that's going to drop there? Because the NFL is dipping their toes into private equity ownership and where someone comes in and gives these owners a get out of jail free card, even more so than they already had. And then you can spend some money and you still have control of the team. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that. It's just spitballing. But you look at all these other teams in the AFC North, and yeah, the Ravens have some questions still. They still have some questions, a corner and edge rusher, and certainly need depth at a number of spots. But I'd much rather have the Ravens' issues in terms of a couple positions of need, positions to address, rather than the rest of the AFC North right now. So, it still comes back to the default question at the beginning: who's your quarterback? And when you have Lamar Jackson, or in the Bengals' case, they still need a defense, but they do have Joe Burrow, so I will at least give them that much. And they have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, it sounds like, for the next 4 years. But I still like where the Ravens are much more than most of these teams over the last week that spent a lot of money. I don't know how much of it was spent all that wisely around the NFL, but that's the first wave, second wave, and third wave sometimes of free agency. And you kind of see where you are at that point in time.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there with any breaking news, any time that the Orioles make a move or the Ravens make a move or the Terps play at 4:30 on Friday in Seattle against Grand, whatever their name is. We will be doing this all week long. On Friday, we'll be at Pizza John's in Essex doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to get to some baseball at some point around it. We did a lot last week. Luke and I kind of went at it about money and about like, oh, it's just an $8 million, just a $10 million relief pitcher. We've never had that before. We're going to find that if we have that. But certainly on the football side, anytime we talk about salary cap, anytime we talk about cap number, who are we going to keep this player? That was last week. And then Ben Cleveland happens. I'm going to be writing when I get a little bit of time. I've started to write my Dear Roger Goodell note because the Justin Tucker thing has just played out, right? We're now into the middle of March. We're into March Madness and opening day. Football doesn't do anything for 5 weeks, right? I mean, we're 5 weeks out on the draft now. So this is kind of the, well, there's going to be pro days and we're going to poke and prod and we're going to talk about trading Mark Andrews to the Chargers or whatever these miracles are going to be. The Ben Cleveland thing, dude, if Justin Tucker's sexual, whatever it is, it was not a story, the Ben Cleveland, like twice over the legal limit as a 350-pound lineman, what did he have, 28 beer? Was he drinking Wade Boggs's stash? I mean, what, like, and then they sign him and he doesn't play. I'm writing about the animal house that they're running out there behind the scenes. What's going on out there that has nothing to do with football players, but has to do with working in that building. And the animal house it's become out in Owings Mills, and I'm happy to call it that. That's what it's going to be called. Because when you have guys that are popping double legal limit, and you're going to give me this ish about zero tolerance. I mean, he doesn't even play, and they signed him. That's the shocking part. Like that they would put up with this with Tucker and string this out. And by the way, every person I talk to that brings Justin Tucker up to me, I was at the bar at Costas the other night. I had having dinner during the Maryland game, the one that they lost with the drive at the end. The public doesn't really want to hear what Justin Tucker has to say at this point. Like when I run into people, I have not found anybody that says, "Those rat bastards at the Banner, how dare they dig up fake dirt, fake news." No one's saying that. No one. So, I mean, I think the Ravens realize that, but the Ravens don't care if he kicks field goals because they didn't care about Ray Rice. And they certainly, over the weekend, could have easily said, "Dude, you signed more autographs than you've made plays. You haven't made it here. You haven't gotten onto the field when we jettison guards around here and knee tackles around here. Why would they sign him?" I'm befuddled as to where their zero tolerance policy is, as well as their backup offensive lineman.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because they never had a zero tolerance policy. I mean, they talked about it and never really defined it. And as I've said to you before,
Kind of like my press credential,
I mean,
right?
I'm
Like
not.
why you have one and I don't. They sort of talked about it, but they never define it because it's who they are. I mean, it really is who they are. And that comes from a guy that spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on season tickets locally, millions of dollars on tickets and trips and time. It's a glaring indictment of who they are in regard to zero tolerance and in regard to their ethics and in regard to the words not matching like how it matches up. You know what I mean? The
Right.
words and what comes out completely different, John, Steve,
I
Eric.
mean, it's just for me, it, and look, I still don't know what's like in a vacuum, I don't know what zero tolerance means. I mean, that's why I'm not really, I can't say I'm really even a proponent of whatever that is supposed to mean because cases do have nuance. But at the same time, you sure better, take things very seriously, right? And that's where I look at this, and it's just odd to me from the standpoint of it's been a disappointing third round pick. I mean, this is a guy that three straight off seasons, guys like me were talking up the possibility of Ben Cleveland starting for you, and he never won a job. He's made seven starts in 4 seasons. He was a third round pick that they were really excited about at the time, and it's just never materialized. From a football standpoint, they lost Josh Jones. They lost Patrick McCary. They were two of their most versatile offensive linemen. You know, in McCary's case, he was starting. In Josh Jones's case, he could play guard. He could play tackle. So I guess there's some merit to it from a football standpoint of someone who does have some experience in your system, immediately is the most experienced backup that you have on your roster compared to your projected starting five right now. If we're going to say Andrew Voorhees is the projected left guard to replace Patrick McCary, which I think is what most people would say right now if the season were starting in
But
mid-March.
this guy's
But
never been as good as McCary, never been as good
sure.
as any of these guys. Zeitler,
Sure, it's
hey,
odd.
I mean,
Yeah.
it just he's had every opportunity to step up, and then he's out all boozed up in
Sure.
February, 2 weeks after the season
Why
ends.
I wasn't expecting him to return. It's you know, at best, the best way you could paint it is it's very surprising, right? That's the nicest way you could paint that. So, yeah,
Hey, Luke, I'll tell you what DaCosta always told me when I called him and players were drunk at our shows, which I know you're aware of. Hey, they're not all choir boys. They're not
yeah.
all choir boys, are they, Eric? Are they? Steve, zero tolerance. Well, it's disgraceful. I mean, it is. It's disgraceful. Again and again and again. You know, when it comes back down to it, I'm happy that I left my PSLs over on the other side because I really, really have a hard time supporting any ideological maneuvering of this franchise when I know how they're operating, how they're really operating. And it saddens me. I mean, I'm dealing with the Orioles press credential people this week about whether I'm going to be credentialed in another country next Thursday or not, where I go owning a radio station for 3 decades and covering the team. I have to question as to whether, I mean, There might come a point where I have to question whether I'm a citizen if Trump keeps this up or whether I get back in. But the baseball team is under new ownership and trying to, I guess, do things differently. The football team's under the same old ownership and doing things the way they've always done it. And that's good enough to sell 80% of their tickets 80% of the time. And they just have this flood of money that falls in and an incredible level of arrogance where they put themselves behind a gated community in a castle with a moat and security people with guns all around, and no one comes in, no one goes out. They allow you in the side door into a little room, and then they bring people to you, and if you ask the wrong question, they throw you out. I'm example of that. So I don't think they can be questioned in regard to Justin Tucker or Ben Cleveland or Ray Rice or anything else that goes on in the building that I might know about that the world doesn't know about, and there's plenty of that. So I would just say they're operating without any oversight. I mean, that's it. They're operating the way they want, saying whatever they want, and it's been that way for a long time.
That's the NFL. That's professional sports largely at this point in time. I mean, it's I'm not saying that's okay. Let me be very clear, but where is you don't have much of that. I mean, you're talking about multi-billion-dollar organizations and multi-billion-dollar sports, and they get nothing but public funding for stadiums across the country, right? I mean, and if it's not your state, it's not your community, someone else will do it. As Oakland found out, as St. Petersburg is going to
Well, I don't
find
know who's
out.
going to do the Commanders at some point. You know what I mean? Like, because Maryland's a blue state, we're bad because we're not with the Russians around here. We don't side with lying con men who should be in prison or under a prison. So Maryland's not going to get. We're not even going to get the bridge rebuilt. I mean, they've gutted Hopkins. I don't know how the Commanders are going to get a stadium here or in Virginia from Glenn Youngkin or in D.C. I don't know, but there does come a point where, like, when civic funding starts to go away from all of these things, the Orioles and the Ravens should thank their blessings that they're in a city like Baltimore, really, in a place like Baltimore that is going to support them when they put criminals on the field.
Okay. I mean, I had my questions about this too, and it is what it is, and I think you'll find a lot of teams operate that way, and that's why
The
as I
Cowboys have
get
had a lot of success the last 3 decades
I mean,
bringing
go
criminals
look at
in.
Kansas City. I mean, look at the Chiefs. Look at some of the players the Chiefs have employed in recent years, and then they've been the gold standard,
Oh, and
right?
this is after the Belcher
And
thing.
look, I mean, this is where I kind of come back to, as I get older, don't take moral cues and don't use professional sports teams as your moral compass. And say that about a lot of sectors, right? I mean, say that about a lot of politicians, a lot of people, lots of places. And to be clear, that's not to say that I'm a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination,
But you are trying. I know you in real life, so.
but I'm not perfect. I'm not even close. I wouldn't pretend to be. But yeah, I mean, it's again,
I mean, you were wrong about Derrick Henry.
yeah, sure. I never said Derrick Henry was going to stink or anything like that. Let's just be
Know
clear
that.
about that.
I love these off-season,
And
these
oh, by the
artists doing
way,
kings, with the crowns. It's great.
they didn't even get as far as they got the year before without Derrick Henry.
That's a good
So
point. That's a good point.
wasn't because of Derrick Henry, let's be clear, but I'm just saying, like,
Listen, the Orioles' problem's all pitching until October. Then they can't hit the
every
ball.
everything about everything about it though comes back to, are you winning a Super Bowl? Are you getting to a Super Bowl, right? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins,
Well, I
is he
don't
gonna?
know if Ben Cleveland's the reason they're getting to a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
And
I mean,
I don't know that a
it's
36,
so weird to
37-year-old
me.
version of Justin Tucker, who is maligned and probably lost his chicken deal. By the way, I'm going to run for the mayor of fried chicken of Baltimore next month. I think I'm going to do that for Royal from because they need a new spokesperson. Luke Jones is here. Yeah, are we running out of things to say that we're this bored that we're talking about jurisprudence? But it's a serious thing. They're not going to play football for a while, but they have the draft coming up. And now the questions are, where are the holes? Rush edge, need another lineman. How are they going to draft? How are they going to think? Because they thought differently about a backup quarterback than you and I may have thought. And I think they thought similarly about a wide receiver. Like last week, they went in on that veteran wide receiver and DeAndre Hopkins. And I love that picture of the young Lamar and Henry and Hopkins all out together and saying it would be a dream team or whatever. Well, it's here now. I remember a lot of dream team offenses coming together. I'm still questioning the offensive line, what's going to happen with Mark Andrews. There's still a lot of things the Ravens could do that could force you to send a WNST text today.
Oh, no question about it. And because you mentioned him, I mean, Mark Andrews, the roster bonus, like he's received it. So does that mean a trade is impossible at this point in time? No. Do I feel like it's less likely? Probably. Unless we get to the draft and there's a team that really, really, really wants Mark Andrews. But I kind of feel wouldn't that team be saying the same thing right now? I don't know. So I don't want to say it's impossible, but that was a major deadline in terms of Mark Andrews' future. But you said it other than that. I mean, corner, obviously. I mean, at this point, if you're asking me what position is most likely that they draft late in the first round, looks like corner. I mean, it could be an edge rusher, I suppose, but they have a need for a third corner. There's no doubt because your number three corner is a starter, basically. I mean, they're going to play 70% plus.
Who is
that's what
that
kind of
player right now?
for them right now.
Yeah, who is that? I'm
Oh,
trying to figure that out because of, I mean, Ardarius Washington,
I mean, he's a
that's not the
safety
position. He's a
right
safety.
now.
He's not a
Yeah.
position, right? Kyle Hamilton, they ended the year with him as a true safety, but they don't want to use him in that way. They want to use him more like a hybrid linebacker, right? Like
Well, I
literally.
mean, you still need another safety to do that, though. I mean, I don't think you're moving Bo Braid
Well, there ain't
there.
no Marcus Williams. I mean, that's my point. My point is they have some depth issues that
They got to
reared their heads
add.
in week eight of last year that forced their hand to make moves that they didn't want to make because of Marcus Williams. And then Ardarius Washington stepped up. But Nate Wiggins, not so much. Brandon Stevens gone. Wiggins, the first round pick, he's going to have to come in and play like that this year for them to be good. And I
He
think we're
played
putting
well
one out
down the
on
stretch
Marlon
last
Humphrey.
year.
Yeah.
He played well down the stretch. I was happy with Nate Wiggins. I mean, I think as the year went on, I thought he played better and better to the point where he was. I mean, go look at the snaps. He was on the field almost every
Well, he
play.
also had a slow start too. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah,
just be,
yeah. Oh, no
yeah.
doubt. He had the car accident. And look, he was a rookie. I mean, he didn't. You're talking about a lot of these guys, that COVID changed things a little bit because guys got extra eligibility. And obviously, NIL has changed some things. But you end up getting some of these guys that don't play a whole lot in college. So there is a little bit of an adjustment. I mean, Nate Wiggins, for me, what I saw from a coverage standpoint, what I saw from an ability standpoint, is ceiling, all that I liked. He has to get a little bit stronger. I mean, he's just really, really skinny. And that was known about him. That's why he went late in the first round rather than being a top 12 pick. I mean, he's just really,
When I think
really
of Jimmy
slight.
Smith, I think of Dwayne
Yeah.
Starks, I think of those other guys that weren't Dion or, Woodson, top five
Yeah.
corners. I mean, McAllister was much more of a, should have gone to the Hall of Fame kind of talent guy. But I think about these corners that they've picked up during the course of time. When you're talking about them drafting a corner at 27,
Yeah.
you're probably talking about, to your point, a third corner and crossing your fingers on Marlon Humphrey. Fine last year, a lot of money, but they're going to need that, especially since Cincinnati signed their wide receivers and
No
they still
doubt.
have Joe Burrow, right?
No doubt. I mean, you don't want to be in a position where you're having to beat them again 41 to 40, which both the games last year were kind of like that. So, but yeah, I mean, they absolutely need another corner. I mean, could they bring back a Tre'Davious White? To just be in the mix, be a veteran to compete there. Sure. I mean, you could do that, but you're certainly not counting on that because the other guys you have in house are Jalen Armour Davis, who can't stay on the field, TJ Tampa, who missed most of his rookie season. So that's what you're looking at in terms of another number three corner right now, assuming you're keeping Hamilton at safety. And if you do want to move Hamilton back into the nickel mix, which could end up happening, you need another safety. So, of course, they have some work to do, but these aren't the kind of questions that lots of other teams have right now. I mean, these are still complementary pieces more so than anything
Well,
else.
Ozzie
So,
would say we could play this week if we had to, but
I
we
mean,
don't.
yeah, and that was kind of my point that I made comparing the rest of the AFC North to where the Ravens were. I mean, look, if they had to play a game on March 18th, would you feel great about every spot? No, of course not. But you look at their starting lineups for the most part on offense and defense, you'd say, all right, that's okay. I'd like to add another guard to the mix to compete with Voorhees and Falele, and certainly you'd like to add another corner, and you'd like to have another safety to be able to mix and match your sub packages a little bit more. But by and large, I mean they're off. That's why the Stanley signing was just so huge for them, because everything else was kind of within the normal range of what you have to address in an off season. But if Stanley walked out the door, where were you pivoting? Were you going to go give what Dan Moore or Jalen Moore or some of these other left tackles that got overpaid on the market? Were you going to pay one of those guys the money that you were going to give Ronnie Stanley? Or were you going to go into the draft and say, well, man, I hope we can, I hope there's a tackle there. I hope there's someone there that can play right tackle and we'll roll the dice playing Rosengarten at left tackle. I mean, could they have done that? Yeah, I mean, you could have, because you might have had no choice if Ronnie Stanley wasn't going to play ball and said, I'll take nothing less than $25 million a year, right? I mean, there was a price point where you had to say, Ronnie, we love you, but we're not giving you that. But that's why I said the $20 million per year ended up being pretty fair.
Well, the whole
He gave
feeling
some.
that at that press conference you attended, where they talked about, we feel like he'll be back. They knew the price point they were at, but much like Bart Scott or even C.J. Mosley, who they really thought, I think, they were going to keep, it got out of hand. And in his case, he never got to market because I don't think he wanted to leave. Right? I mean,
Right.
he didn't really didn't want to leave. He wasn't going to go to New England for money. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave Lamar. Didn't want to leave here. Whatever he thinks his legacy is, whatever they went through with, you're hurt, we're still paying you. Hey, you might still be hurt, we're paying you less. He went through that last year. That they have a kumbaya with Ronnie Stanley, who has $120 million in the bank, by the way, too. So there is a
That's a
point.
factor, yeah.
That's a huge factor. I mean, that's a little different than where Ben Cleveland or even Michael Pierce, who I looked up, he's made $22 million, and I'm thinking, how much is enough if you're that old, you're that big, and you just want to not do this anymore? In the case of Ronnie Stanley, that's a kudos to Eric DaCosta, because whatever little cult they have going on out there, the no speak, no hear, the monkeys that are in the front of the castle, that they at least knew what they had there. And he didn't get out the side door. He didn't make it to free agency. He agreed to everything. Because to your point, the apple cart might have gotten a little crazy a week and a half ago had he said, I'm going to go play for the Bears, or I'm going to go where whoever wants him, whatever it was, that he's going to get overwhelmed by money, or money was more important to him than it is, because he's got $120 million. By then, you sort of know how important money is to a guy. And if the guy's been in your building a decade, you know him. So they felt like he was going to stick around. That's a credit to them, because some organizations don't have that. Jacksonville doesn't have that kind of trust with their players, right? I mean, an agent's having trust with players. With him, it worked. And now it has to work on the field the next 19, 20 games, whatever many they're going to play this year, to keep him healthy. But if he went out the side door, yeah, they would have $20 million in cap money, but they would have a diminished team right now. I mean,
Sure.
they would have, you and I would be bullseyeing, like, what are they going to do there? Because operating an offense without a left tackle is problematic.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, again, it made everything else about their roster building process seem less problematic, right? I mean, it was your number one objective. So I think the only team that probably gave them some pause, and this is why they were willing to come up from, let's say, 17 or 18, was Kansas City. But if you looked at Kansas City's cap situation, they weren't in a position where they were going to be able to give Ronnie Stanley market setting money, right? To give him 24 or 25. If he wanted 24 or 25, he's probably going to have to go to New England or one of these other teams that had money burning a hole in their pocket, but didn't give nearly the same chance to win. So I think really that's where the Ravens came up some. And Ronnie Stanley left some on the table. I mean, this is how it worked out. And generally speaking, when you're talking about a veteran player who you know very well, who knows you've been through a lot together, you've won, you've lost some heartbreakers in January, been through a ton from a rehab standpoint with him. They know what makes him tick. They know about the ankle and whether he needs, even though this past year he didn't have it, but veteran days off and managing his
That's a
practice
union
time.
guy that gave them money 2
Sure.
years in a row back.
Yeah. So, well, and But
That never happened to baseball, by the way.
at the same time, he got paid a lot of money to not basically not play for 2 years. And that happened 2 days after he signed the deal. So I think both sides felt not an obligation, but had some motivation to stay together, and they were able to work it out. And that's why I said everything else now they do from this point feels more manageable, because you said it. Yeah. Okay. If you didn't pay Ronnie Stanley, you would have had a much more cap space, but how were you going to proceed? Were you going to, again, were you going to go throw money at Dan Moore? Were you going to go do what Kansas City did and pay a left tackle who has a handful of starts under his belt, albeit looked pretty promising in San Francisco, but that's still a question mark, even at $15 million a year. So those were your alternatives, or you were going to go into the draft and say, well, we'll hope and pray that someone's there at 27, or maybe someone will be there at 23 and we'll try to move up a few spots, or we'll move Rosengarten and try to take a right tackle either in the first round or the second round and see if we can hit on that for a second straight year, even though that's not typically a very likely outcome. I mean, you're just talking about a lot that had to go right for that. So that's where, as much as you and I talked about it leading into free agency and saying, hey, you have to be willing to walk away on anyone that's not your franchise quarterback, basically. I mean, and they'll be doing a Lamar extension at some point here, whether it's this offseason or next. I mean, that's coming, and it's going to be whatever Lamar wants, basically, because that's how it works when you're talking about these, Josh Allen, Patrick
Well,
Mahomes,
last time
Lamar
he wanted a
Jackson.
washed up $15 million wide receiver, we gave it to him, right?
Sure. Right. I mean, Odell Beckham was the Lamar tax. If Odell Beckham had signed for what the Ravens gave DeAndre Hopkins, that would have been a perfectly fine signing, right? And that's why I said if DeAndre Hopkins has numbers similar to Beckham, I'm not going to sit here and say that that deal's a home run, but it's fine. It's totally fine, right? As a number three wide receiver. So, again, this goes back to when the season ended and they were trying to sort out what they were going to do. A big piece of that was either re-sign Ronnie Stanley, or if you don't, whatever the heck you're going to do at left tackle. They figured that out. You hope he stays healthy. It's not risk-free, of course, because he is still getting $20 million a year. For as much as we're kind of patting him on the back and loyalty and all of that, he's still getting paid very handsomely here. We understand that, and there's a heck of an injury history there, so he has to stay healthy. You could say all you want that you like the deal. If he hurts his ankle, or heaven forbid, hurts something else in week two, and he's out for 2 months, then you're right back where you would have been had you not kept him. So there's always risk involved, but they felt that $20 million a year was going to be fair for him, and he felt that $20 million a year was enough to stay somewhere where I'm comfortable. And to me, when you have two sides that can compromise to come to an understanding like that, then great. Why not stay together if you're comfortable with each other, and you've got a chance to win if you're Ronnie Stanley, and if you're the Ravens, you don't have to worry about left tackle, hopefully. So, again, it makes everything else about your offseason less, not less critical, because they still have some important moves they're going to have to make,
But
but
they are counting on a lot of older guys now, all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Lamar hasn't really been injured horribly during any of this. I mean, he had these injuries were costing him the end of the year. But Derrick Henry's older. Ronnie Stanley's older. You're just going through the Marlon Humphrey, Roquan. I mean, like, they got some
Roquan's
guys
still
now.
young. Roquan's young. I mean, go look. He's not
Yeah,
as old as you think.
okay.
But I hear
I'm
you.
not noticing him the way I was when he was 25. He looks like Ray Lewis, I noticed longer and forever. I don't feel like Roquan Smith the minute he walks out on the field. I'm like, oh boy, we got Dick Butkus the way I did maybe 3, 4 years ago. I don't feel his presence in the way. So therefore, I feel like he's older. He's not. He's a highly paid player. I'm just saying that they have moved a little bit to signing some gray beards. Andrews being another one, right? That they have under contract, DeAndre Hopkins. So they're a little veteran. And I was going to ask you about Calais Campbell, whose name's out there. And, when I think about other guys, leadership guys that aren't going to get arrested twice the legal limit, guys that aren't going to be trying to nudge 16 different massage therapists into providing sexual pleasure for them, that's probably not Calais Campbell. So Calais Campbell's one of those guys that there's a thought that maybe they should never let him get out. He's timeless, ageless. Hey, far be it from me to bring a 40-year-old back in here while the Steelers and Vikings are waiting on Aaron Rodgers, but there is a point where the Ravens are a little more gray than maybe in signing older players if they're going to keep Mark Andrews around. It would feel a little older. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and look, with Mark Andrews, I don't think they're going to extend him. I think it's just they're going to let the final year play out. If in fact they're not going to trade him, which, with the roster
You don't
bonus
think
having
they're going to
been,
trade him if you have to, like right now, you think it's more.
I mean, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago compared to now, I felt it was more likely 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, once you just paid him $4 million, and again, that doesn't mean it's prohibitive that you can't do it or you won't do it, but. As more time goes on, I feel like he's going to be a Raven. Like, because
The
I
time
guess
to
for me,
deal him was before you gave him $4 million, right?
yeah,
Like,
I mean,
right?
generally that's how those things
Yeah.
work, right? And again, we're not talking about this wasn't a $12 million bonus. This wasn't some crazy, like Kirk Cousins with the Falcons kind of, like something like that. I mean, it's still possible, but yeah. So I mean, I don't know if they're that much older. I mean, they've always had some veteran type guys on the roster. I mean, Roquan Smith's going to turn 28 in a couple of weeks. I mean,
That's crazy. Okay. I mean, I
yeah.
stand really
Well,
correct. I knew he wasn't 32, but
right, right.
it does feel like,
Well,
you know, from an
he didn't have
impact
a great
player.
year. He didn't have a
Yeah.
great year, and I don't even know how much of that was him, to be very fair to Roquan Smith. I mean, we talked about all the issues they had with the over routes, with the linebackers and coverage, or safeties were so bad the first half of the season. He
Well,
had
he made
Trent.
Patrick Queen great, and then Patrick Queen disappeared, and they never replaced him, like
Well, and that's
in
the
that
thing. I
way.
mean, Trenton Simpson was next to him, and Trenton Simpson ended up getting benched in late November, right? So that tells you how they felt about how he was playing. So how much of that was trying to cover up for him? How much of that was the safety play? But I'll also throw this out there. You and I debated at the time, was Roquan Smith the guy that you want to give a $100 million contract to? I mean, the first couple years, yes. Year three, I was kind of like, I mean, it wasn't terrible,
Well,
but
year three is a 27-year-old year. You feel like that should be
sure.
getting better, not worse. That's
Sure.
all.
I certainly want to see him make more of an impact this coming year than he did last year. I mean, there's no question about that. But to go back to Calais Campbell, just because I'll give it 30 seconds, I mean, guy's going to be 39, so he's not 40 yet. But I mean, it's unbelievable to have the kind of career that he's had. Six Pro Bowls. I mean, it was Walter Payton Man of the Year. What, the year before, year or 2 years before he joined the Ravens. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but great individual. Everything about him, I mean, I don't know him intimately well, but got to know him a tiny little bit.
The last Raven player to ever speak to me, Calais Campbell.
I mean, just well liked by teammates, does a lot in the community, really thoughtful guy, and was still a heck of a player last year. Played all 17 games, had 5 sacks.
Remember Chris Canty being here at the end was a very similar kind of guy and a similar kind of player. Calais a better player than he
Way
was at
better
the end.
player. Yeah.
Yeah,
Nothing
yeah.
against Chris Canty. I mean, Chris Canty was solid at his best. I mean, Calais Campbell's been a Pro Bowl. I mean, he's going to be, he's going to get Hall of Fame consideration. I don't know. I mean, 5 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro. He's probably not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's the kind of guy that a slam dunk for Hall of Very Good at the very least, when you consider the longevity. I mean, even if he doesn't, and maybe he will make the Hall of Fame. I think a lot of it'll depend on, does he play one more year? Does he win a Super Bowl before he leaves? I mean, does he rejoin the Ravens? Who knows? I mean, but I mean, yeah, it's amazing to think of some players, even at that position, who get to age 27, 28, 29, and you feel like, they're on the downside. Maybe, they might be done. They might get one contract out
We're
after they're
talking about
drafted.
Roquan Smith in that
Yeah.
fashion right now.
Yeah, I mean, not that he's done or anything like that, but Calais Campbell, I mean, he's only a few years younger than me, and yet he's still playing in the NFL at a high level. I mean, it's really a testament to him. I mean, he's one of those break the mold kind of guys, in a lot of ways as a player. By all accounts, everyone who knows him, his personality and all of that. So, whoever gets him, whether he, because the Ravens had some interest in trading for him, before the deadline last year. Miami ended up saying, hey, we'll hold on. We want to hold on to him. But, we'll see how it plays out. But it is amazing for all the veteran players and guys that are washed up at age 28, guys that are washed up at age 30, and
That if
you're
they
that guy
sign a
that
39-year-old defensive lineman,
you'd
we'd
be
be like,
happy
good,
about it.
yeah, good.
Yeah,
Bring him in.
you'd be
Bring him
happy
back. Yeah.
about it.
He
So, I
can't
mean,
hurt
it,
us.
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, well, and we'll see how it plays out and where he winds up. I mean, I would think money's not really much of an object
Yeah,
for
he
him at
wants
this
to
point.
win and be with good people and go to work somewhere he likes. So we'll, if he liked it that much here, he would sign back here and say, hey, they got Chuck Pagano and they, you know, it'll be a fun room.
Sure.
It'll be, I get to go back and play with Roquan and Marlowe and,
He was a
you
big
know, Kyle Hamilton. He knows all these guys, right?
he liked he was a Matabike guy. He thought Matabike was going to be excellent. I can remember talking to him 3 years ago, whenever it was,
Okay.
and he said, you know, at the time he was still Justin Matabike, but he said that kid can he's going to be really good, you know. So he was in early, and lots of people thought that about Matabike, but you know, one of those guys that you like having in your building, you like having in your locker room, and you know, he's chasing a ring. I mean, he's still chasing a ring. So we'll see. You know, I haven't heard anything beyond just what
He
we heard
didn't
at the.
want an Atlanta or Miami.
Well,
So, you
that's
know,
the
the last
thing. I mean,
couple, yeah.
you know, Miami, obviously he played it at the U, so he had some local ties there, and so you know, you can understand that.
Did he
But
play for Chuck? Chuck was long gone by then, right?
I'm trying to. He let's see. Campbell was he. He would no.
Dude, it was
No,
18 years ago he was in college.
yeah, because remember Chuck actually was there with Ed Reed,
Right.
if you
Yeah.
recall. Yeah, so Chuck had been in the NFL for yeah, so no, he wasn't there at the same time, because Calais Campbell's rookie year was Harbaugh's rookie year, 2008. He was
Well, I'm
Joe
sure
Pack
Chuck
Joe
had a
Flacco.
reputation in Miami by the time he arrived anyway.
Sure.
Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. He'll be covering baseball, football, and a little bit of basketball, at least these Terps, the Crab Five going to Seattle this weekend. All of it will be out at Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. Lucas is wearing his Pizza John's of Essex hat. I am still just befuddled by the fact that I meet people from Baltimore who've never been to Pizza John's. So Friday is our day. We'll be down at Back River Neck Road. Take 702. Come see us. We'll be there probably about like noon to four because I'm going to be eating pizza, hanging out. I've decided I'm going to have cheesesteak, double provolone. I'm going to have French fries and proper gravy. And I might even, you know, I might even get you a cannoli or one of those little brown bottom, black bottom things that they have there. Maybe a little scoop of Hershey's ice cream. We're going to be at Pizza John's, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We will have the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs to give away on Friday. The Crab Cake Tour is suspended next week because what do they eat in Canada? It's the poutine tour. We're going to be in Toronto next Thursday and Friday, breaking out our American passports, hoping that our felon king allows us back in over the Peace Bridge so we can come back and live our comfortable lives here in the United States of America. But the Orioles will start in Canada. It will be uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable for them next week. I don't know how you feel about Canadian alcohol, Luke, but you won't be able to drink any American alcohol in Toronto. So I'm going to introduce you to Labatt's and Molson and Moosehead and all these other things, eh? So we're heading up there. We will not be sorry that we're going to Toronto next week. The Orioles open on Thursday. We will be there with Zach Eflin as well as Anthony Santander north of the border. So Luke and I talking a little baseball, a little football, a little basketball. We got a great week ahead here. I visited with Pat Scarry on Friday over at the CVP in Towson, talking about Towson basketball. More than just talking about NIL and money and coaching and old world, new world, and all that stuff. We also chatted about a place called the Startup in Towson, where a lot of people are working these days. And I also had a really long chat about hot yoga, one of my passions in life, with Susan Selkman, who runs Up Dog Studios in Towson. Also had a chance to get over and sweat it out for a class on Saturday. So I'm so tired because I went to Up Dog on Saturday. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Little baseball, little football, little Baltimore positive. Stay with us.